We start with introduction and everything.
Nama budaya, Brother Tube and brothers and sisters in the Dharma.
Yeah.
Welcome to Metarama.
Yeah.
And before I start, I would like to brief about our news, our center.
Yeah, very good. That will be very good.
Our center was Metarama was set up in registered in the year 2004, but started earlier, much earlier than the year 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe 10 years
before we
registered, you see. So overall, we are almost
22 years.
22 over years already.
Metarama has been started. That's very long,
And we are very happy to have all the brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Just a handful of us, no?
Yeah.
Supporting and maintaining this center.
Yeah, Metarama.
And we used to have a Dharma talk by foreigners, like for outsiders,
Tan Ho Soon.
Tan Ho Soon. And we invited monks also.
I saw Chief Reverend.
Yeah, Chief Reverend was our patron.
Yeah,
Chief Reverend, when he was still...
Our late chief.
Our late chief used to visit our place every year.
Yeah, every year he will come. He is my first teacher.
Sadhu.
He's a very, very good monk. Very good, Sadhu. Can you tell us what is the meaning of Metarama?
Metarama.
Somebody asked.
I see. Meta is loving kindness.
Yeah.
And Rama is supposed to be a garden. But our center is not a garden, a house. So it's a house of loving kindness.
Oh,
that is Metarama.
Yeah. House of loving kindness.
Yes.
Very, very good name. Who chose the name?
It was suggested by one of Bante Chatamalo.
Oh, very
Bante
good.
Chatamalo, he gave us a few names to select. So
you all prefer Metta. Metta is very good. Very good. Yeah. It's one of the four Brahma Vihara.
Yes.
One of the wholesome state of mind that can bring about a lot of goodness, a lot of wholesomeness. When you have love, you will have compassion. Somebody must remind us 5 minutes before 8. We may have to start the puja, pre-puja. Do you want to introduce your people? Your main committee people?
Maybe have some ice breaking. We will let them introduce themselves.
That's better.
Okay, I'm Sister Visakha.
The president. Okay.
Thank you.
Let us rejoice with the wholesomeness.
Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Sadhu. Now Brother Loa.
I mean, a few already know me.
Yeah.
I am Brother Loa, and on behalf of this Kotobaru Metarama, we are very happy and honored to have our brothers and sisters from Suban Jaya. I will be. I have been with them 2 days, and tomorrow will be the last day. In fact, I'm very happy to be with them. They are very kind, very friendly, and also we will be learning a lot from them and Dharma as well. We hope that our Metarama and SBJ Ade Subanjaya continue the friendship, the visiting for years to come.
Thank you.
So I want the committee here.
Yeah.
And here I take the opportunity to tell all members, and now I hear also, along the way we have to work together. Synergy.
As
we learn Dharma, there are bound to be differences.
Yeah.
Our perception, our way, don't push all the way. Listen to others also. Then we are happy.
Yeah.
We don't want to come a new building, we become more distant away. So just that everybody...
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Small girl, I like that.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Brother Law. No need all, just your committee member. Your committee member.
Yap Su Lian.
Yeah.
And one of the oldest members here.
Oh, Sadhu. So founder member, founder member. So we rejoice because this is very wholesome. If a proper Buddhist center can be set up, it is going to bring for a lot of wholesomeness because it will last for very long. Then you only need to have maybe a handful to benefit from this center, and the merits that come with it is already immeasurable. Sometimes you need only one to awaken.
Hello. Good morning.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good morning.
Oh, okay.
So, what is Sister Lau, Secretary of Metarama?
Oh, sadhu.
Welcome, 你们全部,
I'm English educated. My Mandarin is 6:30. Forgive me for that. We are also very happy to be here because of affinity condition. Is that all? One more. Okay.
I'm Sister Yu.
You are also one of the members. Very good. So also long time member.
Quite a long time.
Wow, very good. Sadhu.
I'm Sister Gan.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, Suki Honto.
Dhamma Buddhaya, everyone.
Dhamma Buddhaya, yes.
Myself, Brother Lee from Kuala Terengganu.
Nearby,
Very close.
Yeah.
So I joined this Metarama for the last 4 years. I still very new. But anyhow, I still very happy to be together with those people from Kelantan.
They are very happy to have you, to help them.
Thank you.
All the way from Kuala Terengganu, really. Oh, next one. All those uniform ones now I know. So at least you all have your trademark. Don't worry, you can stand there. You want to come forward better?
Good evening.
Yeah.
I'm Sister Paul. I'm the treasurer of
Oh, very good. The money lady. thank you.
On behalf of Metarama, I'm very happy that you all be able to visit Metarama.
Very good. Thank you for your good introduction. One more. Yes.
Sukiyantu. Mr. Yang, I'm the member of Metarama.
Oh, thank you so much. Did you help out in any particular activity? Oh, don't worry. You help out general, Whatever, not enough people. You are like the strong pillar. Anybody not available, you step in. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Then maybe let me introduce myself and my side here. Just our brother Loa to you all. We are from Subang Jaya Buddhist Association. Yes, most of us are from there. But our group is different in the sense that we are Kayanamitas. You know what is Kayanamita? Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma together. And there are also Dhamma friends who has the Dhamma. So these are the grouping that we have established. I think it started in the year 2004. Is it okay? Okay, good. It started in the year 2004. So we are still new compared to Metarama. We are only about 12 years old. But we on our self, we develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of Dhamma activity. Every Tuesday we have meditation, come Dhamma sharing. Every Thursday we have a meditation session at Brother Suyan's house, and followed by Q&A, reporting on meditation. Then my house is Tuesday. Meditation comes sutta study. We are covering many sutta. Then there is another Sunday class at the Wu Ping Ching Se, which is the Poyan Zhang Lao, the vihara in section 11, Wuping Vihara. That one is a Mahayana center. But about 6 years ago, they invited me over there to give a sharing. So it is now established as a weekly session. That one is 3 hours, much, much longer, 3 to 6 p.m. every Sunday, where we have Dhamma class for the first 1.5 hour, followed by meditation for the second 1.5 hour session. Then in between, there are some Dhamma talk that I have to give wherever they invite me. Like today, because of affinity, that's why we are here. So we are a group of Kayanamita. We don't have any particular center or organization. We are Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma, and together we develop this Kayanamita-ship to promote the Dhamma, to enable society and whoever who have the affinity to come and join us and benefit from all this Dhamma sharing. Then we have actually printed many Dhamma books. These are all from my transcript of my talk that I spoke, then recorded. I think, if I'm not wrong, we have around almost 20 books. I only brought 3 today because I don't know what you all need. The main one I brought, which you all will like, is this book. This is based on an international Buddhist seminar that I delivered. They invited me there in the year 2013. It's a Bangkok seminar conducted by the World Buddhist University in conjunction with the few other Buddhist organizations. August 2013. The title of the book is Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way by a Malaysian speaker. So I represented the lay speaker. They invited all the country all over Asia. So this book will give you a very in-depth understanding of the power of Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, how it can help each and every living being who understand his teaching to improve their life. Then if you can really penetrate his teaching with understanding, you can also become enlightened. Your mind can awaken. Then you can be free from all suffering. Then you will have the ability to live the noble life of an enlightened being. That's why they are called Aryas. Aryas are enlightened beings, noble beings. Noble in the sense that they are very noble in all aspects of life. They understand life clearly. The law that governs life and existence, that's why they have right view with regards to all this nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they have this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Means they conduct themselves in a very noble way, speech-wise, action-wise, thought-wise, and the way they live their life. They have all these noble eightfold path qualities of right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then they constantly apply right effort to purify their thought. The four right effort, I think you all know, no need to elaborate. Then after that, they also develop stability of mindfulness, right mindfulness leading to samadhi. So this whole Noble Eightfold Path will be with you the moment you become enlightened. So this is the teaching. So if you read through, it will benefit you a lot. It explains clearly to you about life, about the Buddha's teaching, and how fortunate you are as a Buddhist. You are really blessed as a Buddhist to receive this beautiful teaching free. This is the only thing in this universe where it comes free. I used to hear this English saying, there is no such thing as a free lunch. True or not? Yeah? Nothing is free. But Buddha Dhamma, priceless, yet is free. Yeah. Okay, with that, maybe it's about time. Oh, 1 more minute to 8. Yeah? Is my time fast? Or is it correct? So can we start? Okay. So, first of all, I don't know how you all conduct Dhamma class. We normally start with puja. Yeah? So can I use the traditional Thai Theravada tradition? Yeah? Start with Arahang Sama Sambuddha. Yeah? Means pay respect to Triple Jam. Okay, together, let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, the spiritual faculty. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja, pre-puja. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamma Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. So after the pre-puja, we can officially start our Dhamma talk today. You want to introduce?
Yes. Before we start, let me do a little bit briefings of Brother Teo. Brother Teo, tonight our topic is our title of the talk is Importance of Understanding the Essential Dharma as Taught by the Buddha. Okay, let me introduce Brother Teo. Brother Teo Kien Kun graduated from University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner, calm meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experience with all who are keen in the search of true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering to become a more virtuous, noble, and wiser human being. He gives Dhamma talk and whole meditation and Dhamma class at various meditation centers. Thank you. So can I pass the mic to Brother Tia?
Thank you so much. Then I also conduct meditation retreat. It has been an annual event for the last 4 to 5 years. Earlier on there were some, but not on an annual basis. So these are the very simple background behind. Okay, before I start off with today's topic on the Dhamma sharing, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you all, especially Metarama, for hosting us with a beautiful dinner just now. Then, not forgetting your president, Ms. Visakha, she came to the airport yesterday morning to receive us together with Brother Lua. Then I also would like to take this opportunity to thank them for spending their precious time to take us around, especially Brother Lua. He did a great job. He was so concerned with our welfare on many times. I was told last night, his, because he used to have many ladies. This one is a he. His grandson was here, so he's supposed to spend time with the grandson before he leaves. He leaves today. So we tell him, you don't have to come, just go. He said, no, Radio, I need to do my duty. I want to take care of you all. Then I was told last night, because of the rain, she purposely drove back with the umbrella to search for those group who went to Pasar Malam and got caught in the rain. Because I wanted to rest, I didn't go. So they say, because I didn't go, they were caught in the rain. So that's a joke. So I really rejoice with the affinity with Metarama, so that I can be here today to introduce ourselves and to have a dialogue with you. This is the first time I'm here at Metarama, so I hope this will give you a lasting impression so that you can benefit from whatever sharing. The sharing will be recorded, so you don't worry, don't have to make any notes. You can listen to the recording, it's very clear. I just need Suyan to check one more time. I'll make sure. Because sometimes the battery, I don't know what happened, you press, you think it's on. No? After the talk finished, they realize they didn't really start the recording. So we have been more careful because of what happened. It seldom happened, but it do happen. So I don't want to end up promising you, then giving you the bad news that it's not recorded. So you don't worry. Whatever you need to know, if you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, you will understand what I say, and you will understand later on your own. You don't really need anybody to explain to you. When your cultivation is on the right path, you will progress very fast. And like the Buddha say, this teaching of him or his is very unique, because when you chant the salutation to the Dhamma, the characteristics of the Dhamma is very clear. And one of the main ones is Pacetang Vetitapo Vinohiti. You understand the meaning, means this Dhamma can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. You don't need to check with the book, with the monk, or anybody. The one that realizes it will understand. So this is a very unique teaching. Of course, it has other qualities, like the Buddha say. Well expounded is the Buddha. Sorry, is the Dhamma by the Buddha. You always hear this. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then this Dhamma that is well expounded by the Buddha has this characteristic. The Buddha say it is sanditiko. It is akaliko. Then it is ehipasiko. Then opanaiko. Then finally, pachyatang veditapo vinohiti. What is the meaning? You have to understand this so that when you cultivate, when you go through the understanding, you don't realize all these characteristics of Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, then it's not the meditation or the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. This teaching is sanditiko in the sense that it can be realized in the here and the now before you die. You don't have to wait till death, then only you are promised the eternal bliss or eternal heaven. The Buddha said, no need, you can realize enlightenment in the here and the now before this form and mind separate or pass away. So apart from sanditiko, this Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means it's timeless, beyond time, beyond thought. If the Dhamma you realize is still within the field of time, psychological time, means can be like expressed in words and all those things, then that is not the timeless Dhamma. The timeless Dhamma can only be realized when you realize Nibbana, when you awaken, when you realize the unconditioned cessation of form and mind. So this sanditiko is very unique. It's beyond thought. Thought is thinking. Thinking is psychological time. The timeless is when there is no thought. No thought means the five aggregate of form and mind cease. That's why Nibbana is cessation. It's not about a place where you go and become enlightened there. No, it's just a realization. The mind that understands realizes itself and cease. And within the cessation, there is eternal, what they call the unconditioned, is realized. That's why the true nature, your Buddha nature, or whatever that you call it, with whatever name, that can be realized. And you cannot talk about it because it cannot be expressed in word. It's beyond word, beyond thought, beyond concept. Then apart from it, sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko means this Dhamma is evergreen. You are invited to come and investigate into it. Well, the truth will stand up to investigation. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is the Buddha's teaching, which is essentially the truth. And the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truth. That's why it is noble truth, not only truth. Not ordinary truth. Truth means this noble truth, when you understand it, you can become noble ones. You can awaken. That's why it's called noble truth, not ordinary truth. The Buddha didn't even want to call universal truth. Arya Satya. Satya is true. Arya is enlightened being or noble beings. That's why this word noble is very important. To be enlightened, you are very noble in all aspects of life, like I explained just now. You will have right view with regards to the law of nature that governs life and existence. The three basic right view of right view with regards to law of karma, karma, niyama. Then right view with regards to the way the mind functions, citta, niyama. Then finally is right view with regards to truth, Dhamma, Niyama. So these truths are the essential Dhammas that the Buddha taught about. That's why today's topic is about this essential Dhamma. So for the benefit of those who came in later, I will repeat the topic. The topic which I wanted to share with you all is understanding the importance of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. If you can understand this essential Dhamma and link them all together, you will progress very fast. Your meditation will be very simple, very easy. That's why when you understand, then you cultivate, you will realize the enlightenment, the awakening, very easily. But the problem with most cultivators is these essential Dhamma are not understood. They don't know how to link them and connect them. That's why when you cultivate something without understanding, you cannot progress. True or not? It's just like you want to work towards your success in certain things. If you don't even know what your direction is and how to maybe achieve or realize it, there is no way you can do it. True or not? That's why you go and seek those who have experience, those who have gone through life, who has developed the success in those fields. Then you learn from them. They are called experts. So Buddha Dhamma is not much different. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is there are three phases of Dhamma, which I believe you all are pretty familiar. The three phases of Dhamma you heard before, isn't it? Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Okay? What is Pariyatti? Pariyatti is the phase one, the learning of the Dhamma. Understand or not? You have to learn it, because if it's something so new, you haven't learned it, like you go to school, if the subject is so new, like physics or chemistry or maths, which you totally got no idea of what it is, you need to learn it, understand or not? So in school, maybe you listen to the lecturer or your teacher. Then you got textbook, go back, read, reflect, contemplate, then develop the understanding. So Buddha Dhamma is slightly different. During the time of the Buddha, you can only hear him. Means when he is alive, when he is delivering the Dhamma, proclamation of truth by the Buddha. That's why they link it to his first turning. There are three turnings. I hope you all understand. The Buddha Dhamma is taught under the three phases of Dhamma. But under Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, you heard of this sutta or not? The first sermon. Immediately after the enlightenment of Sakyamuni Buddha, initially for 7 weeks, he was going through all those things. Then after he finished, he reflected upon his understanding, the realization that he had. He find it so difficult to teach or to share with the living being. That's why he initially was reluctant to teach. Why? Because what he realized is the opposite of most puttujana or the unenlightened being. Things that they take to be permanent, full of bliss and joy and happiness, turn out to be the opposite. The universal characteristic is impermanent, leading to suffering. Then the one that we cling on to as self, permanence, an unchanging entity within, permanent unchanging entity within, turn out to be the opposite, non-self. And there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity. That's why everything is conditioned, arising, dependent, originating. That's why it's empty. So anicchang dukkang anatta. Then what happened was, saham brahmapati, the Brahma came down. Because this Brahma can read Sakyamuni Buddha's mind at that time. Then he came down and respectfully spoke to Sakyamuni and request him to share. He said, there are some with little dust on their eye that can understand your teaching. Then Sakyamuni reflected. He said, yeah, the two teachers that taught him, Alara and Udaka, but he used his special ability, Abhinya, he checked. The first teacher passed away 1 week ago, and the second teacher passed away just the night before. So he couldn't teach them. Then he checked again. Oh, the five ascetics that follow him. Remember? The five ascetics? Then he surveyed the world. He knew that they were at this deer park, is it? Yeah? I forgot where. Then he walked all the way there. And he expounded the first sutta. He called it the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The first turning of the Dhamma wheel. They call it the first sermon. And within this first sermon, you can read the sutta. It's in the Theravada Sutta. He said, this Four Noble Truths that he has realized, which is the essence of the teaching, was already there before he realized them. He only re-proclaimed them. Then he said, not until he himself as a bodhisattva had understood this Four Noble Truths in its three turning and 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one. See how important this three turning is. And this three turning of the Four Noble Truths, they are related to the three type of penetrative wisdom that comes about if you can develop the understanding of what he has shared. 12 aspect is because there are four noble truths. Each noble truth, he turned it three times. Four times three is 12. Then the Buddha said, the first turning is proclamation of Dhamma. When he proclaimed this Dhamma to the five ascetics, what happened? Only one of them, remember? Kandanya, become enlightened. He became a Sotapan. So this is through hearing. That's why the wisdom that comes with it is called Suttamaya Panya. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Maya is the connecting word. Panya is wisdom. Means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. That's why it's called Suttamaya Panya. If you have your past cultivation, it come about was because in the distant past when Sakyamuni Buddha was trying to perfect the perfection of Kanti. You know what Kanti is? Patient. The king of Kalinga, you remember? He heard from his people that this ascetic is cultivating patience. Oh, he said, you cultivating patience. I see how patient you are. Sakyamuni, that time, was a bodhisattva. He said, yeah, you can test me, no problem. Then he really instructed his soldier, tie up the four limbs, then use the horse to tear them apart. But you know what happened? Sakyamuni just, as a bodhisattva at that time, just invoked the power of truth. He said, by the power of this truth, that he has developed through all these years of aeons of cultivation, the perfection of patience. If there is any anger or any negativity in his mental state when the king was doing that to him, may my limb not come back to me. The moment he said that, all the four limbs came back to him. Then the king panicked, came down from the horse and paid respect and asked for forgiveness. Sakyamuni Buddha at that time as a bodhisattva said, you don't have to, you don't worry, you did me a good favor. You gave me the condition to perfect my this 10 perfection, one of the 10 perfection, which is patience, kanti. And because of that, I am going to take you across. You will be the first one when I become a Sammasambuddha to be taken across. That was the condition for Kandanya to become a Sotapan. See? Then after that, he delivered the second sutta. What was it? After Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The sutta on non-self, empty nature or existence, all the five become arahant. That is the first turning. Means after they heard the thing, they reflected, they contemplate, then Sakyamuni Moni Buddha guide them along with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The five aggregate of form and mind, he go through one by one. Then immediately, because of the condition at that time, the five all become arahant straight away. So this is first turning followed by second turning. Second turning, the Buddha said, you have to reflect on all this that he has proclaimed. Like the first noble truth of dukkha, what constitutes suffering. The first noble truth you understand, you all understand. The noble truth of suffering. He never said life is suffering, no? Don't get him wrong. That's why a lot of those other religions, if they try to tell you, why you go to Buddhism? The whole teaching is about suffering and nothing else. There is no love. Metta, Rama, got love. And the Buddha never teach suffering. That's why I want you to have this understood so that you know how to reply to people. You should be proud to be a Buddhist. The Buddha said that is a noble truth that explained to you clearly about suffering. He said dukkha is prevalent in this world. Dukkha can be everywhere in the midst of life and existence if you don't have wisdom, if you don't understand his teaching. That's why he proclaimed the first noble truth, is it? There are eight realities in life, is it? And what are the eight realities? He said, as a living being, if you live long enough, if you go through life, you will experience them all. You will have to confront them all. The first four is very clear. Birth, old age, sickness and death. You agree or not? Everybody has to confront this sooner or later. And if you don't have the understanding, it can be very traumatic. It can bring about a lot of suffering. Then the fifth one, the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, without wisdom, you will be miserable. Then the sixth one is, when there is separation from your loved one, from your possession, things that you hold on to dearly, your wealth, your property, your career, your whatever thing that you hold on to dearly, especially your loved ones, even your title, your reputation. When there is separation because of condition, separation can come in many ways, the Buddha said. Nature's disaster, like tsunami, earthquake, building collapse, natural accident. These are the various ways. Then nature's law, this form and mind, when it have disease and all those things. Finally, when condition is no more, you can die. And death is severe separation, death of a loved one, the sole breadwinner in your family, or your own siblings, your spouse, somebody very close to you, very dear to you. Then, not only this, the Buddha said, separation can come in many other ways, is it? Relationship failure. When we are married, divorce can take place, and divorce can be very traumatic. It not only affect the couple, the spouse, it will affect their children, their in-laws, their parents, those who have affinity or relationship with them. Then there are forced separation due to poverty, due to crisis, due to war and all those things. So all this can bring about mental suffering if you don't have the Buddha Dharma, if you don't understand his teaching. Then the seventh one is, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met. You know what is expectation, this is why a lot of people suffer without knowing it. You expect your spouse to understand you. You expect your brother and sister to love you, understand you. Then you, through your thought, you don't understand. You think negatively. Then your thought will tell you a lot of funny things. You say, when I got problem, my friend also come and see me. My own brother and sister never come and see me. Then he will somehow say, they are my brothers and sisters, you know, yet they do this to me, see? Because you expect a lot from them, but you never ask the question, what about you yourself? You put yourself in their shoe. They also have expectation from you, understand not? Because you are also the brother and sister. Do you love them? Do you care for them? That's why all this is in the teaching. It's about law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness. Wholesomeness will come back to you. Goodness will come back to you. If you neglect people, take advantage of people, yeah? Deceive people, got problem only see them. Every time go there means ask for money or harass them or go and argue over the inheritance and all those things, then develop all the enmity. Your own brothers and sisters, you end up that way. So these are the various ways. Then in the office, career field also same. You expect to be promoted. Somebody else, which you think shouldn't be promoted, get promoted. What happened to you? You become, yeah, in your Hokkien, beta han, bo song. Then you develop the anger, the hatred, the negativity of mind state. And these are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, make you fall. Karmically, you will fall further. So this is something that the Buddha actually taught. Then apart from the first seven reality, he said the last one is, in short, this is meditative, is it? It is through your own self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that I call suffering or dukkha. That's a upadana khandas dukkha. That one need a lot of meditative awakening. And you understand what is the five aggregate of form and mind, is it? Yeah? What are they? Maybe you can name them, huh? What are they? First aggregate is what? Rupa, then? Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Oh, very good, sadhu. But do you know that there are two aspects to it? This five aggregate of form and mind. There are two aspects to it. First aspect is as a human being. The Buddha say, as a human being, we are all with a form, physical form. This is the first aggregate form. First aspect as a human being. This is rupa, yeah, physical body. Then you have a consciousness or mind trapped inside. He said, the Buddha said, there are four more aggregates at the mind level. And how do you understand them? Very simple. The Buddha said, reflect and contemplate. What can your mind do? What can your mind do? No. Anicchang is impermanent. What can your mind do? You have used your mind for so many years, isn't it? Since birth until now, isn't it? What can your mind do? Just now you name all the four. You know what are they? Vedana is what? Your mind can feel, isn't it? Hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. True or not? And this is the first aggregate, feeling. And feeling is very important. That's why he separated it out. Because the Buddha, later when he realized the enlightenment, the law of dependent origination, the 12 link, or paticca samuppada, he said, dependent on feeling arise, what? Vedana paccaya? Tangha. Tangha is? Craving is the cause of suffering. That's why feeling is taken out. Then, what else can your mind do? The second aggregate you named just now, Sanya, what can it do? Your mind can perceive, isn't it? You can perceive my voice, isn't it? You can perceive my physical form, isn't it? The Buddha Rupang, isn't it? So perception is another aggregate of mind. The food you taste, there is perception. You have your five physical senses and the mental, six sendo. You can perceive them all. Then the third aggregate is sankara. Every day you do one. Every day you use one. What is it? They put a lot of English word in the Pali translation. What are they? Sankhara means what? Mental. They name it a lot. Mental formation, mental activity, mental states. Actually, everything your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is sankhara. That's why sankhara got 52. Understand? Even your planning, your deceitfulness, your cunningness, your whatever mental states that you arise when you sit meditation, when the mental hindrance arise, or when the spiritual faculty arise, when you have calm state of mind, blissful state of mind, when you have stillness, quietness, tranquility, stillness, or restlessness, agitated state, and all. These are all sankhara, mental states, mental activity. That's why the Buddha always used sabbe sankhara. He never says sabbe vedana sanya sankhara. He just used one word, sankhara. So everything that your mind can do is sankhara. The fourth one is vijnanang. What is vijnanang? The last thing that your mind can do. Your mind can become? What is vijnanang? It can become conscious. Conscious of what you see, seeing consciousness. The moment you open your eye, you become conscious of what you see, color, shape, and form. That's why you look at the TV, Indulgent, ticket to indulgent. They got this world of sound and sight. Because you have these senses that can allow you to perceive and become conscious. That's why they say the seven wonders of the universe, of Mother Earth, is not those seven things that they name. It's your senses. Your ability to become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. This is how you know the world. This is how you perceive the world. This is how your form and mind arise. This is what paticca samuppada is all about. This is what dependent origination is all about. This is what the Dhamma is all about. Because the final summary is, in short, the Buddha said, it is this fine aggregate of form and mind, my delusion that conditioned me to attach, that is the cause of suffering. So you must understand what this fine aggregate is all about. So this fine aggregate of form and mind is the first aspect as a human being. Okay? You have a physical body, you have a consciousness that has the aggregate of feeling, perception, consciousness, and activity of mind or sankhara. The second aspect is mental. Nothing to do with this physical body. Where the rupa is the external form that you perceive and bring into mind. So your mind got four aggregates. Vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. Like this Buddha rupang, how do you bring it into your mind? How does this form enter your mind? Through your mental perception. Memory, you perceive, it goes in. The form aggregate of mind together with this mental form become the five mental aggregate. That is the real five mental aggregate, the second aspect. That is what the paticca samuppada is all about. That's why you look at the dependent origination. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara paccaya vijnana. What is this vijnana? Avijja paccaya sankhara. What is it? Ignorant condition, they teach you in the book Karmic Volition, correct or not? Then, rebirth consciousness. This is what you were told, isn't it? Over three periods of time. Then, vijnanang paccaya nama rupang, the five aggregate form in mind. They say the human being is born. The real one is not like that. The real one is every moment of consciousness, dependent origination is there. Avijja paccaya sankhara means dependent on ignorance because you don't understand. So what do you do when you don't understand? Your teacher in school, when you don't understand, what he tell you to do? Go back and think about it, understand? So this sankhara is actually your mental activity, thinking, understand? That's why when you cannot understand, you try to think. Understand? Not able to understand. One thing to know. One thing to experience. That's why you think. That's why the unenlightened one, the one with ignorant one, avijja, think a lot. That's why human being, the deluded one, they are a creature of thought. That's why the enlightened one is silent. Most of the time, aware, mindful, heedful, without thought. You want to know whether you have progressed in your meditation or your cultivation or not? Check how much thought you have. If throughout the day you're still heedlessly thinking and arising thought through your heedless mind, you are far from the real cultivation. But if throughout the day you have your spiritual faculty, no more mental hindrance, then you are beautiful. So this essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about is essentially, the first essential Dhamma is the Four Noble Truths. That's why I want to zero in on this. This topic is too wide. I hope I can cover as much as I can because it's recorded. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths, everybody knows. It is like the secret of life. When you understand this Four Noble Truths, you can become Noble One, Enlightened One. Because when you understand the secret of life is, you know how to live life. True or not? Means you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you will have right view with regards to the three important nature's law. Actually, there are five Pancha Niyama the Buddha knew. He mentioned it in the teaching. He said the first two are scientific law. Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama. You heard of this? Utu is physical law of nature. Physics and chemistry, they have all this. Then, Bija Niyama is biological order. All biological thing, organic thing, like your human body, the plant, the animals, the fishes and all those things, with organic content, they follow this biological order. That's why you have biology, genetic engineering, and all those things. These are scientific law. So when the scientists understand and have a lot of breakthrough in these two law, they progress very fast. That's how our civilization progressed so fast. Do you realize that? That's why they understand many things. Last time, to us, this type of handphone thing, with the ability to perform so many powerful things, you will never imagine, true or not. Maybe 20 years ago, it is really extraordinary. So that time, a lot of things people cannot understand. But now, with the scientific breakthrough, they can progress. So similarly, the Buddha is an expert in the next three nature's law. They call spiritual law. That's why his spiritual teaching is very powerful. Like the scientist, when he understands these three law, he becomes the Sammasambuddha, the fully enlightened one. What are the next three? Spiritual law. Karma Niyama, law of karma. Chitta Niyama, law of the mind, which mainly dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama, all the other essential Dhamma or truth as taught by the Buddha. So these are the five that will help you to understand many, many things. Now I will try to come back to the three turning. I almost missed out. The first turning is like the first noble truth after the Buddha proclaimed. If you have your past, you hear it, you can awaken. But this type of being are rare. Like Asajji. After he recited to Sariputta. Because Sariputta saw him so radiant, so peaceful. Like a very good monk. So he approached Asajji after he finished his pinnapat and meal. He said, may I know who your teacher is? Because you are so serene, you are so beautiful. Asajji said, I'm still new. I know very little. He said, never mind. Tell me whatever little thing that your teacher has explained to you. He just told Sariputta this. Whatever that arise in life, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, My teacher, which is Sakyamuni Buddha, Asaji say, has explained it to us. The moment he heard that, he became a sotapanno. So you all heard, anything happen. How come he can just penetrate like that? This is first turning, Sutamaya Panya. No need Sakyamuni Buddha proclaim. Asaji proclaim also can. Understand? So now maybe I proclaim also can. That's why you must have this cultivation from the past. Otherwise, he said, don't worry. Go for the second turning. So second turning is, after you heard, you still cannot understand it. What do you do? The Buddha said, you go and reflect on it, contemplate on it, and inquire into it. Why did the Buddha say that? Why did he call birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering? With people whom you don't like is suffering. Separation from your loved one and your possession is suffering. Not able to get what you want is suffering. And the final summary, why did he say that? In short, it is due to your self-delusion, sakadity, that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. Then you have to ask yourself, why did the Buddha say this? Because he is the fully enlightened one. He has realized it. That's why you must have faith in him. The first spiritual faculty. Five spiritual faculty. First one is sadha, faith. Because he is the fully enlightened one. Then after that, you have to inquire, if I don't understand this, what will happen? Yeah? The proclamation, the first noble truth. These are the eight realities that can bring about suffering. You know? If you don't understand me, it's what? You suffer without knowing you are suffering. You know? That's why those who suffer, they still point finger and blame people. You know? Until they are in depression, they still blame other people. You know? This is suffering without knowing that you are suffering because they don't have this teaching. When you have this teaching, the eight reality you know, you cannot cling, you cannot attach. It's just like the first four, birth, old age, sickness, and death. Why did the Buddha say it's suffering? If I attach to this physical body, what will happen? I become deluded in that self-delusion. I think it's me. Then I will worry about it, getting old, getting sick, and die. True or not? That's why you suffer. That's why the Buddha said the five daily contemplation is the next essential Dhamma that you have to understand. You have to reflect every day, he told the monk. This body of mind is of the nature to what? You never reflect this five daily contemplation. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, for he has never gone beyond old age and sickness and death. The first three contemplations is about this physical form. Because it made of element. No knowing cannot be you. That's why it goes the way of nature. It is subject to change, decay. That's why this one will get old, get sick and die. But don't worry, it's not you, understand or not? Like your car, you buy your new car. The car get old, get sick and die, you worry. Beyond economic repair, what happened? You write off, buy a new one, true or not? But body cannot write off, no. Cannot buy a new one, no. Understand, no? Because this is like a car and a driver inside, but you never see. This physical body is just a physical body, made of element, no knowing is there. True or not? The four element, how can it be you? But you have a consciousness, is there? Trapped inside. And this fellow is like the driver that instructs this body to move, understand not? That's why this body is like a vehicle, perform the function of a human being to take you around. And who is the driver that drive, instruct this fellow to move? The mind, is there? You see, this is the driver, this is the car. An analogy, okay? If the driver is your Ahmad, if the car is what you bought, not you, what happened? The driver cannot simply drive in there. If he don't obey traffic rule, what happened? The car will bang and you will get into trouble. The owner will get summoned. The car also will meet up with a lot of problems. So likewise, this body and mind, if it's not you, but you have to take care of it, understand? Or? You cannot simply do things. That's why the mind, which is like the driver, you must train. You must meditate to develop heedfulness, mindfulness, so that you don't commit evil, so that you don't become heedless and simply get into trouble. So this analogy is very important. If it's not me, I don't have to worry about it, isn't it? So what must I do? I must have money to buy a new car. Correct? Means you must have right livelihood to earn proper money. Don't cheat, don't deceive, and do all those things. So the moment you understand this, then you realize if there is accident, if the car get damaged, I don't go and cry over it, understand or not? I don't go and lament over it. Ayo, my new car. Huh? Just bought, my wife did this. Why every time the wife has to be blamed? Because they are so nervous when they drive your new car, understand or not? Because they know if anything wrong, you will go after them. But if it's your neighbor's wife, what happened? Oh, you come in and joke with your husband. Neighbor Sui bought new car, reverse auto gate also bang. You can laugh, isn't it? We have no attachment. We have, you don't own, understand? But because your pocket got a hole, you pay, you suffer. And this is attachment, understand? This is craving, this is suffering. Why do you do that? The reality is, happened already. Means what? Don't go and worry about it. Don't go and blame and point finger and get angry. These are all evil roots. Roots of all evil where you get angry. You deludedly, through your anger, create enmity, misunderstanding. Then, happy occasion, because you are able to afford a new car, end up miserable. Why? This is what the First Noble Truth is all about. Attachment. Clinging. Grasping, pointing finger. So when you understand all this, then you realize it is just a form and mind, happen ready. Do what you have to do to amicably resolve it. Tell your wife, it's okay, don't worry. But learn from it. Next time, don't do it. I tell you, your wife will love you so much. Hug you and say, thank you, darling. I will never do it again. The promise will come, I tell you. Then you can see her happy with joy, isn't it? Then what do? Got insurance, ma. Tell the wife, don't worry, I bought full insurance. The insurance will take care. Then happily, you get it repaired, understand? But this consciousness trapped inside, where this body gets damaged, is different from the car. No? Car got no feeling. No? This one got feeling. No? That's why your aggregate of Vedana will trouble you, understand? No? Then your sankhara will make you think. No? That's why wrong thought will condition suffering, craving, attachment, delusion. And this is what the teaching is all about. So the essential Dhamma is what the Buddha wants you to understand. If you understand that it is not you, then you can attend to it easily. I only have to amicably resolve it so that I can move on. I will not arise a wrong thought, like getting angry, blaming, hitting out. All these are against Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Wrong thought leading to wrong action, wrong speech. Then suffering. That's why you talk about Noble Eightfold Path, but you don't know how to apply. You don't know how to actually become aware of all these evil roots. So this second turning is for you to reflect and contemplate and inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? If I don't understand, because the second turning is that this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. How can I understand it? Means I must reflect. What is birth? Then recollect through mind. The process of birth. And then you will come to understand through life experience why birth is suffering. The mother will know why birth is suffering. I got not enough time to run into all this. Then we go into the third turning. After you reflect and contemplate, you develop the understanding, then you stabilize your understanding. Then you understand why the Buddha said all these eight conditions lead to suffering. But you have to reflect and contemplate. No? Then especially the final summary, the five aggregate of form and mind. Why did the Buddha say it's through my self-delusion that conditioned me to attach, that conditioned suffering? means I must understand how it happened. To understand how it happened, I must understand what the five aggregate of form and mind is. True or not? So you are attached to the physical body, first aspect of form, do I suffer? You suffer, isn't it? Yeah, you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. Oh, true. Attachment through delusion to physical form is suffering. What about external form? This Buddha Rupang you perceive. Because you think you're Buddhist, eh? You will respect this a lot, isn't it? If somebody were to ruin it or destroy it, what happened? Huh? You become angry, miserable. How can they do this? Like the what they call Afghanistan there. Huh? The Bayang Buddha Rupang. What happened? They destroy it. Oh. Then you think your Buddha died. Huh? Did your Buddha die? Oh, is that refuge I take and die like that? What type of refuge is it? I don't want that refuge. The Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom and virtue, perfection. It's not the physical. Understand or not? So what the Buddha wants you to understand is these are objects of veneration, the four objects that you have to pay respect. That's why you chant, Vandami Chetiyang Sabbam Sabbatane Supatititang Saririka Datu Mahabohing Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. These are the four objects of veneration. Means you recall to mind the great wisdom and perfection of Lord Buddha. Means he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. That's why he is called the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, fully enlightened. That's why he is very unique. So this is something that you understand. You don't attach to this. People destroy this. Nothing, understand not? Why you want to argue with people? Understand not? But you don't allow the condition that it won't happen. But if somebody want to destroy, the world is the world. People are just the way he is or she is. What can you do? Understand not? If your mind attached and cling, you become entangled. You become miserable, afflicted. Just because you hold the label, I am a Buddhist. But you don't really understand who the Buddha is. Because the Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom and virtue. That's why the Buddha said, he who sees my Dhamma sees me. He never say, he who see the physical form see me. But this is not him. That was the physical body, true enough, the functional body of the Buddha that performed the function of Sakyamuni at that life. That's why it's called Nimanakaya. But his real perfection is Sambhogayakaya, the spiritual body. Then when the spiritual body came during the night of enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, it transformed into Dhammakaya that delivers the Dhamma. That's why that is the three bodies of the Buddha. Yeah. And the spiritual body can never be destroyed by anybody. So this understanding is very important. So external form, like your loved one, they are not real. They are just form and mind, dependent originating, condition arising, non-self, empty. So don't attach. But there is a law of karma that governs life and existence. This law of karma is applicable to the form and mind. So this form and mind got a duty. That's why you cannot simply do things. You cannot like try to be too smart. Understand not? Buddha said, anatta, I never kill anybody. Understand not? He know you, he know me. But the society's law will put you into jail. Understand not? Then the law of karma, killing, is violation of precepts. So all these are related. So after you have developed this second turning wisdom, after you reflect, contemplate, and understand them all, you will become clear. Then it will prepare the base for you to receive truth. Then the third turning, which is the enlightenment. They call it Bhavana Mayapanya. Wisdom born of Bhavana. You know Bhavana, huh? Metta Bhavana. Loving kindness meditation. Bhavana is meditation. So awakening or wisdom born of meditation is the third turning. So that one is the direct seeing. You will awaken. The second turning wisdom is called Chintamaya Panya. You heard of these three wisdom? Haven't heard of? Never mind. Later you will understand. It's all in the sutta. Now I will zero in on the essential Dhamma. The first one is the Four Noble Truths. Then the rest are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. So when the Buddha asks you to reflect on the five daily contemplation, is to overcome the First Noble Truth reality of suffering. The first three we have gone through. Yeah? What is the fourth reflection? Yeah? The first three is, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. The fourth one is what? You haven't heard of this. The five daily contemplation. You haven't heard. This one, every day you have to reflect. So please go back and check it out. Huh? The fourth one is, whatever that you think you own or possess, like your loved one, your property, your whatever possession, reputation, wealth or what, they are impermanent. They are dependent originating, condition arising. They never belong to you, for you never exist. They were separate from you, sooner or later. Before your breath stopped, when conditions cease to be, they were separate from you. That's why this is talking about separation, the reality. Understand not? Separation through death or whatever, or nature's disaster, just now we went through already. Then relationship failure and other things. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, it's career problem. When you have bosses that are not so easy to deal with. They harass you. You know management by? There is a new type of management. All the bosses, they squeeze you until the last juice also come out. Management by harassment and fear. They harass you to deliver. They give you a deadline. And when you cannot deliver, you got fear. So, management by harassment and fear. You will sure suffer when I tell you, miserable, unless you have Dhamma. So, these are the people whom you don't like, correct? There's like some, the phone call ring on here, the fear is so intense. Those who work in high stress job, you will know, you will understand. When the bosses are very unreasonable. Then, moving on, is the fifth contemplation. What is the fifth contemplation? That's why you don't have whiteboard. You have, I write down, very easy to understand. What is the last one, most important one? What did the Buddha say? You have to reflect. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. You heard of this, isn't it? Do you understand this or not? This is the most important essential Dhamma. How does this contemplation come about? Because the Buddha knew this law, law of karma, the first right view, he said. If he were to tell you as a Sammasambuddha that you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are every moment, every instant because of your karma, what must you do? What must you do? Karma plays such a great role in your life. What must you do? You must take care of karma, isn't it? So that karma take care of the life. How do you take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha, like Brother Lak say, Lua say. Understand? Avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. That's why you all don't understand this essential Dhamma. That's why you cannot cultivate. That is the reason why you keep your five precepts. How to avoid all evil? Renew your five precepts, understand? Not? Why renew your five precepts? Because you violate the five precepts, you commit evil. Who are the people who violate the five precepts? Take for example, first precept. You chant, isn't it? Just now. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhi yami. What does it mean? Don't tell me you chant without understanding. I undertake the training rule to abstain from K. killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who kill and cause harm to fellow living beings? Violent people, angry people, deluded people, selfish people, correct or not? All the three evil roots are there. That's why if you kill and cause harm, this is a very severe karma. That's why you have to undertake the training rule to train your mind to be ever mindful, to see your mental intention. Any selfishness, any anger, emotional negativity, any violence through envy, jealousy, these are evil, root of all evil, make you evil. That's how your karma falls. And this is how you cultivate. That's why you have to train your mind to be ever mindful, to see the mental intention. That's why mindfulness is so important. Your mental intention, the Buddha said, it's cittena that I call karma. Cittena is mental intention. If there is no mental intention, there is no karma. That's why the advice of all Buddha is the essential Dhamma, Dhamma Pada, verse 183. You heard of it before, isn't it? Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. What does it mean? Not avoid evil only. Sabba papasa. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. All evil you must avoid. That's why akaranang, not only avoid evil, not all. Why all? Because your karma will fall, you don't avoid all. Understand? That's why you have to be dead serious when you understand this cultivation. The Buddha's advice, no, sabbe, no. Papasa akaranang, no. Sabbe is all, no. Papasa is evil, no. Akaranang, no, avoid. Then when it comes to kusalesa upasambadan, he never says sabbe kusalesa, no. He just says kusalesa upasambadan. What is kusala? Wholesomeness, anasana, wholesome karma, kusala karma, kusala. Kusala, no need to sabbe. Wherever there is wholesomeness, there is condition to do, do. Understand? Not only do good, wholesomeness, kindness, generosity. Because that good is very dangerous. No? You know what good means? Good according to who, you never ask. Good according to you may not be good to your children now. Good according to you, like just now Brother Luck said, you all must work together in harmony. Means what? When there is disagreement, don't argue. Understand? There is selfishness. The ego try to take over. Understand? Why are you here for? You are here because you are sincere. You want to help out. Understand? You have this understanding, this goodness. You are here to contribute, not to create division and argue. And not only your society, I tell you, all society, 99.999, all got political and problem. That's why you must have noble eightfold path to be a really good committee member or help out in this particular work. Because when there is differences, it's always from the mind, the ego. Because your views and opinion is very heavy. You want things your way. If it's right according to you, then wrong according to the rest. That's not, who don't carry the same view. So what must you do when you have such problem? Compromise, give and take. That is a very good word, but doesn't bring about solution. You try to compromise with your spouse and say, give and take. He will take more and give less. Sometimes they don't even let you decide. Where to eat? Up to you. You suggest already, they tell you, oh, no, we go there. See? Give and take. This is how they take. Understand? They agree first. You suggest. No, every day that one. We go that one. He decide. Understand? Cannot give and take one. Understand? That's why you must have this understanding. I teach you. You will do very well. You ask yourself, ask everybody. I hold meeting in the office also same. We hold meeting to resolve problem, not to argue about problem, not to point finger, you right, I wrong, cover backside, all the same. No point. it will bring about more problems. We are together as an organization. We work towards organization objective. This one. What is best for the society? For the member to grow, to flourish. Go back to your constitution. Go back to your whatever motto. You have all those things in there. These are very noble aims. How can we realize this? Not your view and not my view. Understand? Then based on consensus, we make a wise decision. Understand? But you must have the Dhamma first in order to respect each other for their views. You have to give them what they call good speech. You have to welcome their comments, their viewpoint. But you don't have to give in. Understand? You say, any good suggestion that is beneficial, you are most welcome to bring it out. Then if somebody bring out a very good point, you say, thank you so much. We really, really like your idea. Can we work on it? Can we put you in charge? Anybody can help. But then, it's not argument, no. Then if somebody like envy, why my idea all shot down? That person's idea all accepted? Oh, president more friendly with her. You think like that, I tell you, you are gone. You are not a cultivator. You don't have Dhamma. We are the I, the ego is still about you, your views, your opinion. It's not about society anymore. It's not about your metarama anymore. That's how you will never grow. But if it's towards the objective of the center, which are very noble, you will grow, you will flourish, you will become beautiful. Apply Noble Eightfold Path. Every time when you don't apply Noble Eightfold Path, you will go wrong. I tell you. When you don't have right view, you cannot understand. You cannot resolve things amicably. When you don't have right speech, right thought, right action, means you are not a Dhamma practitioner. Because you are very crude in the way you communicate. Express yourself. You always want to hit out at others. Protecting your own self-interest. That's why the politics. They got cases where they gang out and vote out the president. I have heard society doing that. And the president also didn't know that day he went there for the election. He donated a lot of money to the center somewhere, thinking that he will be re-elected. Then they put out a motion, to actually second somebody to challenge him. And because of the vote, they kick him out. Wow, he came and complained to me. That's why I know. But please, this is not to create unnecessary misunderstanding. It's just a sharing so that you can understand. Okay? So now I move on. After the fifth contemplation, you know that law of karma is so powerful. The Buddha said we are all born of karma, add to our karma, condition and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So we have to take care of karma. Take care of karma means the essential Dhamma. Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. Understand? This is how you cultivate. So to avoid all evil, you must understand what constitutes evil. Correct or not? You have your chart there. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Okay? There is some pointer there. Go and read it out. But please, I don't know who wrote that one. The real meaning is much deeper. You must understand what constitutes evil. Otherwise, how can you avoid evil? True or not? The next essential Dhamma is what constitutes evil. The Buddha say the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion in Pali more important. Loba, dosa, and moha. Moha is not avijja, understand? Moha is delusion. It's mainly self-delusion. That's why sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, that one is very powerful. When you delude, it grabs and cling. When you have a mark of a self and a living being, you will have big problem. So, what constitutes greed? What is greed? What is loba? Why is it called an evil root? root of all evil. Huh? Not contented is one of the expression. But why is this evil root root of all evil? Because when you have this evil root, like greed, selfishness, envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, when they are inside your heart, what happens? They will make you evil, isn't it? Correct or not? That's why selfish people can kill, can harm, can deceive, can cheat, can do all type of funny things to break the precept. They will lie. They will commit sexual misconduct. That's why they are called evil. Root of all. They make you evil. They make your karma fall. Then the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good, it gets good. Do evil, it gets evil. You all know Mandarin, right? Just like I heard some Mandarin words. Zhong yin jie guo. Zhong san yin jie san guo. Zhong e yin jie e guo. So what must you do? My teacher, Master Xuan Hua, used to say this. 众生千万要小心啊，不要种错因结错果。 Don't plant the seed of evil and reap the fruit of evil. Means plant the wrong seed, which are evil, to reap the fruit of evil. That's how heedless people who don't take care of karma, who don't train their mind, they suffer like anything. And this essential Dhamma is in the Buddha's teaching, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. You heard of this? Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. So what must you do? Everything arises from the mind. When the mind arises, everything arises. You break your precept. It's also from the mind. You become noble one. It's also through training this mind. So that's why the Buddha knew. He said, our mind is very important. It's the forerunner of all things. And mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. The mind right things arise. So what must you do? You must take care of mind, the Buddha said. If you are heedless, if you don't take care of mind, what happens? You will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? Dhammapada was one. What happened? Suffering will follow you like the hoof that follow the wheel. Is that what you want? This is your life and all. So if you know your mind is so important, is a forerunner of all things and is chief, and when mind arises, everything arises, what must you do? You must be heedful. You must determine not to be heedless. So heedfulness is to be ever mindful, to take care of mind, to cultivate noble eightfold path, to avoid being heedless. So if you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then what happens? Happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. Understand or not? So life is so simple, isn't it? To live life, what must you do? Avoid Dhammapada verse 1, cultivate Dhammapada verse 2. And how to avoid Dhammapada verse 1? Avoid being heedless. And what did the Buddha teach under the essential Dhamma? Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. On heedfulness. These are the first three Dhammapada verses on heedfulness. There are 20 of them. Apamada vahaga. Dhammapada verse 21, what is it? You all never heard of all this? Wow. Like that, very difficult to cultivate. The Buddha said heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Heard of this before, isn't it? Now you say yes. Just now I asked you Dhammapada verse 21, you don't know. And what does the Buddha mean? What is heedfulness? Apamada. Heedfulness is to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And all these are in the Dhammapada verse, in the teaching. That's why Dhammapada verse 21 will connect to 22, then 22 will connect to 23. 23 define what heedfulness is. The Buddha continued Dhammapada verse 22. What is verse 22? Distinctly knowing the big difference between heedlessness and heedfulness, the wise intend on what? The wise one will intend on what? When you know heedfulness and heedlessness is world apart. One lead to the deathless, means you will never die, means you will become enlightened. The other one, the heedless are as if dead, means you are living as a human being. Means you existed through life, but you never live life. Means spiritually, you got no chance. Means the heedless are as if dead. No chance of enlightenment. You are heedless. You don't take care of mind. You don't train your mind. You don't develop mindfulness. You don't train your spiritual faculty. You allow your mind to be heedless. And the Buddha explained very clearly why you cannot meditate. Why you cannot meditate? Yeah? The essential Dhamma, there are two. I think you have it in your board there. The five mental hindrance and the five spiritual faculty. These are opposite pair. The Buddha said you are not able to be in the meditative peace of inner peace, inner mindfulness and awareness is because of the mental hindrance. And what are mental hindrance? These are mind states that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, becoming aware, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. It hinders you. And what are they? What are the five mental hindrances? Huh? Sleepiness is correct. Yeah, third one. First one? Yeah, la, stop and topple is the third one. Sleepiness, lethargic mind. First two? Every day also you arise. Unless you are enlightened. Then you don't arise. Sensual desire and ill will. Can remember? And what is sensual desire and ill will? Basically, they are the evil roots of greed and hatred. Understand now? Every day you react to sense experience. Everything you see also you complain. You react, like and dislike. You hear also, you react. The kepo mind, understand now? Then you see, ayo, how come la that la? Why la that la? Then you hear, ayo. Then you see the facial appearance, ayo, ane bo sui. Why you want to make all this type of command? Understand? This is your habitual tendency. This is what the Buddha meant by like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant senses. Your negative reaction, the duality that you arise within every moment of consciousness, when you arise your seeing consciousness. Well, when you live life, you have to see that. When you have to hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel and think. When you become conscious of what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel and think, what do? You have this habitual tendency of reacting, anasana, because this is your habit. And throughout the day, you create sensual desire and ill will, your like and dislike, and unpleasant sense experience. What are you doing? You are creating mental hindrance, understand not? And this mental hindrance has become a habit. That's why it hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you cannot do daily mindfulness. You sit down, also a lot of thought come in. The fourth mental hindrance is what? Restlessness of mind. How you become restless? Because you never train your mind. No spiritual faculty. And you never keep your precept. Please don't get me wrong. When I say that it's too strong for most of you, because every day you renew your precept. Do you know what you mean by keeping your precept? When you really keep your precept, you are incapable of negativity. Understand? The absence of evil is good. Don't try to do good. Good according to you is the condition good based on your views and opinion. Understand? When you are incapable of evil, means no more negative root, evil root, no more selfishness, no more emotional negativity, no more delusion, have no more evil power. That itself will make you good. So what happened is, when you didn't take care of precept, you will have this problem. You will have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's how your mind becomes restless. When you break your precept, what happens? You worry about people coming after you, true or not? Your fear, your worry, your anxiety come from your attachment, your self-delusion, attachment to this body. You worry about your body getting old, getting sick and die. That's why you cannot hold onto this delusion. And that's why I say the restlessness will be there. Every time you got a health problem, facing old age, sickness and death, and you cannot understand, you worry. Then when you break your precept, when you kill, you lie to your spouse, when you cheat, argue with your children, or your loved one, or in the office, or whatever, when you confront the first noble truth reality, because of your delusion, your attachment, your craving, you develop a lot of fear. So in modern term, we call it problems of life. What are the problems? Health problem. Eh? You agree with that? Relationship problem. Career problem. Huh? Financial problem. Some more? Children problem. Grandchildren problem. You worry about them. You yourself also cannot manage. You worry about your children. After that, you worry about your grandchildren. This is attachment. This is not to say you cannot love. The Buddha said, you can love, but without attachment. Can you love without attachment? Means with real understanding. You can have good food, but no attachment, no craving. You understand? The problem is with attachment, craving, clinging. That's why you really keep your precept, you know what will happen or not, the Buddha said. The monk always chant to you in the retreat or when you go for the precepts. Imani pancasika padani silena sukang tinganti. You heard of this, isn't it? Silena boga sampadan silena nibuntinganti tasma silang viso de. You heard of this, isn't it? Do you understand this or not? That brown book will help you. This is the essential Dhamma I spoke at the house Dana in one of the Kayanamita. It's all inside there, very beautiful. You see, Silena Sukantiyanti means, the Buddha said, if you keep this five precepts, it's the source of spiritual happiness. Do you have happiness in you? Means you have keep your precept. If you don't have happiness in you, every day also been chow chow one. Bo hua hi wan. How? Means you haven't kept your precept to the level that the Buddha meant. Like when the first day I remember, Brother Lua, he tell us, no, very happy to meet up with us. He tell us very good advice. Most important thing, you must be happy. Hua hi le ho. Correct? So to be happy, you must have Dhamma. You must keep precept. Then, silena sukantiyanti. Your precept is the source of mental happiness. Why? When you keep your precept, what happens? You will have a lot of wholesomeness, isn't it? Then, you reap what you sow. All this good fortune will come back to you, you know. Where you are kind to people. You are very compassionate. You are very loving. And you help out in many things. So whatever you do, even as a parent, you take care of your children, you sacrifice for them, you love them, you provide them with whatever, you do your duty well. In future, what happens? When you come, you will have good parents who will provide for you, care for you, love for you, then sacrifice for you. But if you have children that make you mangjang and unhappy. You don't go and blame your children, no. Well, in the past, the law of karma say, the Buddha say, there are causes and conditions behind. Why they become your children? Well, last time when you become children, you do this to your parents. Understand or not? So the karma is, now got condition, this child born into your family, this child got this negativity, do back to you. You reap what you sow. Do good because you... So if you don't want to have children who do this to you, you better take care of your children. If you don't want your mother-in-law to nag you, you better take care of your mother-in-law. This is karma. You don't joke. And people cannot see this. Because you dare to be selfish, it's because you don't think of the consequence of karma. If you think of the consequence of karma, you dare not do any negativity. That's why the Buddha says, Sabba papasa akaranang. You cannot be selfish. You cannot do all these things. This is what cultivation is all about. Understand? How much time do I have? Huh? Can I continue? Oh, can I? Okay, I will try. I try to stop at 10 so that you got Q&A. You see, after you have understood this, your cultivation becomes very different. You will understand clearly what the Buddha meant. So, we already gone through, from the right view with regards to law of karma, you will know how to follow the advice of the Buddha, keep the precepts, then train your mind to be mindful, heedful. So just now, I will add Dhammapada verse 22. Okay? After you know, distinctly understanding the great difference between heedlessness and heedfulness, the wise one, those who have wisdom, they will intend on heedfulness. They will not become heedless anymore. Means what? You have to train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate this noble eightfold path throughout the day. Otherwise, this is what daily mindfulness is about. Otherwise, you cannot progress, I tell you. Because throughout the day, you arise the mental hindrance and become so heedless. How can you become peaceful? And the Buddha said, never fight the hindrance. Understand that this mental hindrance arise because you lack the spiritual faculty. The five spiritual faculty. What are the five spiritual faculty? Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. You don't know this one. What is Sada? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Not blind faith, not just believer. Because you contemplate and reflect through second turning who the Buddha is. He is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. Because he is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened. And because of that, he has this understanding to proclaim this beautiful Dhamma and give it to the world free. And when you understand this Dhamma, it's like the secret of life. You understand life. You know how to live life, like I said just now. So this is the important aspect, the meaning. So when you have that understanding, you become different. If I have a teacher, like the Buddha, who is the wisest and the most virtuous, what will I do? I will have very, very strong respect and gratitude towards him, true or not. And my faith in him will become unshakable, true or not. That's how you develop the sadha. Have faith. No more turning back from this moment on. That's why in the year 1971, when I met Chief Reverend, I didn't meet him, when I was in Form 5, I was given one book by my classmate sister. The first edition of his most famous book is What Buddhists Believe. The first edition, red color one, very thin. I tell you, the moment I opened the book, my heart opened up and jumped with joy. And from that moment onward, I never turned back. Because I saw what he wrote, no? He was the only monk, and that was the first book I held. Well, last time I never looked at Buddhism, you know why? I saw my mother pray to all those, the Tobekong and all those, but she did pray to Kuan Yin. And Buddha. Kuan Yin and the Buddha is the only thing I can agree to and pray. I don't know why. And all the rest of the deities, all I cannot. I cannot. Sometimes he asks me to take the joystick. I count 1 to 10, then I put down. Out of respect for her. Because to me, my nature from the past knew that this is not correct. Then they can go and like bargain with the deity. If you help my family, help my children pass exam, if you can help them recover from the sickness, I will come and offer you more chicken. I will offer you more of this CO2 and all those things. Wow. I say, if this is Buddhism, sorry, I cannot look at it because I cannot tolerate killing and all those things. Even she asked me to help the chicken before she slaughtered her. I let go, and I was scolded for very long by my mother. She said, you are a useless guy. Feed you also no use. She said, one chicken also cannot. She said, this is for our family meal. I said, please don't ask me to do. I don't know why. I said, the moment I saw your knife come, I just let go of the bird. And the reason being, Chief Reverend Roh, these are Chinese tradition. Chinese tradition and belief system. This has got nothing to do with the Dhamma. Wow! There was a great relief inside. Then what happened is, I want to know what the Buddha teaches, what the Dhamma. Then immediately he wrote the Four Noble Truths. But the Four Noble Truths, he didn't explain like I explained. A very skeleton one. But the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, very funny. It's like I have understood this truth before. And straight away inside my heart, my nature tell me, nobody in this universe, I said, 2,000 over years ago, can summarize all of his understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths, at that time, I already knew. All of life, whether the mundane and the supramundane, is already inside that. That's why I call it the secret of life. I say, whoever who can do this, he is the real one. Because that Four Noble Truths solve all my problems, solve all my understanding. And from that moment onward, I never turned back. That's why I started off as a Dhamma practitioner from that moment, 1971, until later. And that is the reason why I want to share this message with you, the essential Dhamma. When you understand, you will never turn back. You will have a lot of faith. Then it will drive you to cultivate. Means what? The second spiritual faculty, spiritual zeal. Virya. When you understand that his teaching is so important to your life and so beautiful and can transform you completely as a normal human being into an enlightened being and can make you free of all suffering and bring about such great transformation until your life becomes so beautiful so that you can understand life perfectly. You can have the Noble Eightfold Path with you. Your paramin is all there. Then you will transform character-wise, personality-wise, because you live the noble life of an enlightened being holding on to the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then right mindfulness, ever mindful. Then right samadhi. Then you will become different. That's why you will go all out and cultivate this teaching, because it meant so much to me, to my life. Without this understanding, I will suffer like anything. Every life I choose to come or I have to come, I will become miserable. Because I am born of it, had to eat, conditioned and supported by it. I am what I am because of it. That's why I determined to cultivate. And I determined to develop the understanding myself. I only attended his Dhamma class in Brickfield because I was responsible for tape library. That's why I recorded a lot of his early recording and all the other monks. Then I listened to them. Then through my own past, I understand them. I cultivate differently. Not like what you all learn in the temple. Because I realize what they teach is different. Because they are not able to link all this and they are not strong enough to penetrate the Dhamma. So that's why with that understanding, my cultivation developed and become different. Then after a certain time, I didn't even go to Brickfield. after the year 1989, I just do my own thing, stay at home most of the time until people locate me in the year 2004. That is a long story. We continue the Dhamma better. So after Sadha, Virya, the third one is what? The spiritual faculty, Virya, will drive you to cultivate. Then what do? You cultivate to train your mind to become mindful, heedful, ever mindful. That's how you meditate. Means you cultivate spiritual faculty. How do you cultivate spiritual faculty? Your puja, your reflection, second turning, contemplate who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is. That's why I contemplate on the Buddha Dhamma, then the Sangha, the triple gem. Why he call it the triple gem? So when you do the puja, you develop, like I say, start off by composing your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, pay respect, mindfulness. So through mindfulness, you start. Then your meritorious action, 10 meritorious action, you will do it. Because after that, what you do? You renew your precept. Keeping precept is a meritorious action. Then offering food, dana, is a meritorious action. So dana, sila, then you sit meditation. Bhavana is meritorious action. Now you listen to Dhamma, again, meritorious action. You straighten your view, meritorious action. Then later on you rejoice, meritorious action. Transfer merits, meritorious action. Then you have to promote all this activity by becoming committee member and members. Then you have to spread Dhamma, the gift of truth. Then you help out in society, service to others. That is also meritorious action. So your parami is full. And you train your mind to have sadha, virya, then sati. Then when you sit, meditate with understanding, the blue book will teach you how to meditate. You just focus on the spiritual faculty. When you develop the mindfulness, mindfulness is just body and mind as one. That's what kaya upasana is all about. That's why you can start with anapanasati or rising and falling. The object of meditation is not important. They are just skillful means to train the mind. If you need to train your mind, means you don't have enough spiritual faculty. When your spiritual faculty is full, developed, stable, you don't need meditation object. You don't need at all. Your mind is already in the meditative state. Why? Because when the five spiritual faculty is there, when you have sati, it will stabilize and become samadhi. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness is just awareness before the knowing. The mind is very calm, very peaceful. Because it's just aware, no thought. So no thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sensual desire. You don't arise a thought. You just silent, relax, and aware. That is what meditation is all about. Then as you stabilize this mindfulness, it becomes collected and unwavering. That is what samadhi is all about. Then when your mind has sati and samadhi, because it's just aware, collected and unwavering, that's why it does not stir, it does not move. So when you live your daily life, in the midst of life, when you see something, hear something, smell something, it does not react, it does not stir, because it's in samadhi, collected and unwavering. That's why you can see things as they are, and understand the reality there and then. That's how wisdom arises, the last spiritual faculty, panya. The direct seeing, jnana dasana. Seeing things as they are, not according to what your conditioning, your views, your opinion, and your memory tell you. Understand? Because all these are your wrong view. Your memory are the accumulation of your scars and memory, your conditioning, your like and dislike. And all these habitual tendencies will not help you. It will make you miserable and heedless. That's why you must silence your mind to be just aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to think. Just relax, silent, aware. And through this mindfulness and heedfulness, your mind becomes different. Then you start to see your mental intention. Then you start to see your mental hindrance. You start to see all the essential Dhamma, like the three evil roots of greed, hatred. This is how you meditate. You can't even see them. How can you deal with them? See them means aware of them. Then the moment you're aware of them, you can apply the four right effort. What are the four right effort? Right effort to First one. Huh? You have them all there, and yet you don't know how to apply. First one is right effort to what? To abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that has arisen. This is the first thing you cultivate, understand or not? If you know that all these are against the Noble Eightfold Path, you have to abandon them. How to abandon them? The Buddha taught five ways. What are the five ways? First one is think of the opposite, wholesome thought. When you have a lot of anger, think of metarama, metta, understand how? Loving kindness. When you have metta, you cannot have anger, is that true or not? That's why think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. If that one after a while doesn't work, then you cannot be every time want to get angry, come back and radiate metta. Understand? Huh? Then the Buddha say, go a step further. Think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or wrong speech and wrong action. These are evil, root of all evil. Your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be evil or to be wholesome depend on your decision. Understand or not? So choose wisely. Choose to be heedful. And it's so easy, isn't it? True or not? So if you choose to be heedful and mindful, then you don't have this problem. Then your mind can develop and can develop the meditation. So when I think of the consequence of holding on to this thought, because these are evil root, make me evil and make my karma fall, and my life, I hold the key to my own life destiny, I don't want to be like that, what must you do? Huh? You have to abandon it, isn't it? Because the consequence is, it is going to make your karma fall. You somehow want to repeat it. You somehow want to allow this to continue. Means you are not a serious practitioner. You are not being serious at all. Then the third way is better, meditation. You know what the Buddha said? Just relax, aware, silent, don't do anything. Then see what happened to the anger. Let's say you got anger. Next time you got anger, or jealousy, or fear, or restlessness, you just silent your mind, relax, aware. Don't do anything. Don't even think. Then you feel and see what happened. When you have anger here, the heart here, a lot of agitation on, a lot of stress on us. You don't feel good. Sometimes you will feel like you got heart attack on us. You got a lot of anger and stress. You feel very bad on. Then you relax, silent, you know how to meditate. Just aware. Don't try to know what happened. The anger will cease, will fade. You know what happened? Before you get angry, were you angry? You were not angry, is that? Before you hear somebody scold you or what? So anger is condition arising, understand? Anger was not intrinsic in you. So it is due to your wrong view that react, where you attach to his word. You attach to your personality, the self-ego. You think he say bad thing about you. He abused you, he scolded you, he insulted you. And all this is the you. Understand? And he. This is what delusion is all about, self-delusion. So what must you do? When you know it's not you, you just relax and silent. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. You don't feed it any more mental energy, you don't think about it anymore, you will not get more angry, is it? Then you will just relax, silent, peaceful. That peacefulness come back. Then you realize what the Buddha taught is the same. He told the monk, he said, go and get me some water. First time Ananda went, the water was muddy because the bullock went through, remember? Second time also same, third time also same. Then fourth time at the middle of the night, he told Ananda to go again. And then Ananda came back with a clear water. He said, we are very fortunate. The Buddha said, no, your mind is like that. When you don't stir it like the bullock cart, you know anger is condition arising. Yeah? You stir, you react, understand? That's why it becomes muddy, clouded, with the hindrance, with the evil roots. When you allow it to settle, don't allow any stirring and reaction, your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, the peacefulness, the silence, the awareness. Without thought, it is already aware. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So don't think. But you cannot, because of a mental hindrance. You think a lot. Why? Avijja paccaya sankhara is so strong. Dependent on ignorant condition, mental activity. That's why you think a lot. That's why you become heedless. The heedful never die because they don't think. They are just mindful, aware. Then when you understand, I don't have to do anything, the anger is gone. Because no more condition for it to get angry, means no more wrong view, wrong thought. It's oh, then very easy there. But doesn't work. It only temporary relief. Every time you got anger, come back, relax, silent. Go out, again, encounter, again, come back. It's not a permanent fix. So the Buddha said, go to the fourth way. What is the fourth way? He said, trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. How to trace? You trace. Through mindfulness, you check. Why did I get angry? It's always this three door. Either through your hearing, seeing, or your thought. These are the three most powerful doors. When somebody insults you, then you react and stir. That's how you get angry. True or not? When you see somebody you don't like, that's why you get angry. And so, then when you recall certain incidents, that person that you don't like, then you become very miserable, very unhappy. And that's how it starts. Understand or not? So it's through your senses, through your consciousness. These are the five aggregates, mental aggregates. So when you attach to your memory, to your seeing consciousness, to your hearing consciousness, that is self-delusion. That's how you stir your mind and you react. So now that you understand this is how it starts through your wrong view, then how can you retrospectively reverse it? Then you have to reflect and contemplate, like the Buddha said. If this is the wrong view that I'm holding to, I perceive that person with negativity, with evil roots, what must I do? I must reverse all this. I must straighten my view there. Then what did the Buddha teach? Seeing things as they are, the Buddha said. Why did he say that? Means I see truth. I see reality. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. So if I see him as she is or as he is, I got no problem with that. Means what? Deluded people will do deluded things. Angry people will say angry things. Selfish people will do selfish things. He or she is just the way she is. And then I can be at peace with that. I don't have to react and stir that. Then I can have love and compassion. Out of love and compassion, where these are evil roots. These are wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought. This will lead to their downfall. That's why out of loving kindness, you radiate metta. Because metta-rama got a lot of metta. Understand? So I say, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Like Jesus. This is what love is all about. Forgive them. Then instead of reacting and stirring, you got love. You got wholesome thought, right thought. That's why you become different. Then your mind doesn't stir. Oh, then you realize, this is the way out of suffering. And this is wisdom, right view. Understand? That's how you free. This is Dhamma cultivation. Okay? Then the third one, the Dhammapada verse 23, most important. After distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise will intend on heedfulness. So now you understand. Then the third one confirmed everything the Buddha said. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. This is Dhammapada verse 23. What is constantly meditative? What is ever mindful? These two you combine, it becomes heedfulness. That's why the ever mindful and constantly meditative, the meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you constantly ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you will realize the enlightenment, the born-free Nibbana. So this is what the teaching is all about. If you understand, you will train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, never become heedless again. You know that the Four Noble Truths. First Noble Truth explained to you clearly about the realities of life and existence, prevalence of suffering. When you confront all this reality, without wisdom, you will suffer. That is the First Noble Truth. Then the cause of suffering, the Buddha said, is explained under the Second Noble Truth. He said, there is a reason behind all your suffering. When suffering arises, because you have self-delusion, you don't have wisdom, you don't have this Dhamma understanding. So it is self-delusion that conditions you to grasp, cling, crave and attach. That's why craving is the cause of suffering. When you have craving, positive and negative, they are the cause of suffering. All your attachment, grasping, clinging, holding on, these are your cause of suffering. So now you understand what is suffering. You understand the cause of arising of suffering. What must you do? When you understand these two noble truths, you know how to manage your life better, isn't it? True or not? When you know this lead to suffering, you will not be so foolish as allow yourself to be entangled, isn't it? Then when you know the cause is attachment, you meditate to develop the right view, right understanding and wisdom to free. That's what the teaching is all about. Then you will have the good life. Then you will have Dhammapada verse 2. Happiness will follow you. Just now I didn't finish. I only finished the precept first benefit. Silena sukantiyanti. So precept is the source of happiness. Second one, silena boga sambadan, means what? Source of spiritual wealth. Because when you have this precept, you will have all the merits, understand or not? Then you will have condition to listen to the Dhamma and all those things. Where you will come to temple, you will perform the puja. Then you will receive a lot of spiritual wealth. That's why it's a source of spiritual wealth. Then the third one is the most important. Silena nibunting yanti. Nibunting is peacefulness of mind. Precept is the source of peacefulness of mind. And this is what meditator need. You must have sukhang, happiness, sukanti yanti. You must have spiritual wealth to provide you with a good condition to receive the meritorious fruition of your good karma so that you will have the good life, so that you will have the condition to cultivate. You will have good family. You will have good support, good guide. You will meet up with the wise. Because we always chant, closing puja, Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo otu, yawa nivana patiya. You chant this before there. Imina punyang, punyang is a merit. By the power of these merits, may arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, heedless. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened so that Nibbana can be realized sooner. You must make this aspiration. And without merit, you cannot make. It's not powerful. But with all these merits, when you keep your precept, when you cultivate, when you meditate, you develop wholesomeness, mindfulness. When you straighten your view, when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, your parami become very strong. Then you invoke this pure wish. It will bring forth the condition for you to progress. You will automatically, life after life, avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened being. That's why you can receive all this Dhamma. Now you understand? So cultivation is not what you think. When you understand, you have to be dead serious. Because the moment I understand this in 1971, I never turn back. That's why I go all out to cultivate. Because it's my life. It is so important to me. All of my future depend on this understanding, this teaching. Okay? So, I haven't finished all the essential Dhamma yet, but I think there is enough. Too heavy a dose, no good. You cannot take it, but don't worry, don't try to remember. It's all in the recording. Okay? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. So thank you so much for your patience. It has been almost 2 hours. So hopefully it can bring forth good condition for you all to develop further understanding so that you can become a blessing to all. Later on, I really have this pure wish. Metarama will grow and become different. Every center starts small, insignificant. But if you sincere, have faith, it will flower and it will flourish and it will become beautiful. And with this Dhamma understanding, I tell you, you will progress very fast. You will become very different. Then hopefully the next time we meet, you can rejoice with all these conditions. Okay, thank you so much. So now you can ask me questions if you have any while I take a drink.
Any question on the floor?
Okay, while you think of your question, I want to add this one. This one is important. I was told by brother, what's your name? Lee. He said the children is here. They were from USM. This Dhamma also helps students, even when you come out to work. Because the Buddha Dhamma is very unique. It's all in this book. The benefits of meditation, following the Dhamma way, the Buddha's way. You see, the great benefit is when you train your mind to meditate, to cultivate, to develop the spiritual faculty, the first two immediate benefit is peacefulness of mind, inner peace, because you have sati, mindfulness. You have sada, the mind becomes very composed, very calm. And when you are mindful, you are without thought, without the mental hindrance. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. You are just peaceful. Then when you combine with metta, loving kindness meditation, which metarama I suppose should be good at, you will develop inner well-being. So inner peace and inner well-being is very powerful and very important for humanity. In time of suffering, in time of fear, worry, anxiety, you know how to meditate. You can use this inner peace and inner calmness to calm yourself down, to develop the inner well-being, so that your mind can have this positive energy of loving kindness, which will make you very peaceful, very calm. That's why a lot of people who suffer or have depression, peace is very difficult to come by, true or not? You want to have one moment of peace, also very difficult. Some try to meditate like anything, but they find it very hard to have peacefulness. And the worst is when your mental hindrance is there, when you have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, what happened to your mind state? These are negative energy fields, evil roots, roots of all evil. It will make you miserable. That's why you become very sorrowful. Then, like a cocoon of thought, it makes you more and more unhappy. That's how depression sets in. Then what happens is, these are negative energy fields that can lower your immune system. You understand? When your immune system is lower, what happens? You will be stressed out and become vulnerable to disease. That's why you can get cancer. You can get all those traumatic diseases, heart attack, stroke. That's why this benefit of meditation is very useful in time of problem, suffering, fear, worry, anxiety. You calm yourself down through meditation, develop the inner peace. Just breathe in, breathe out normally, relax, silent, and just aware. Then radiate love to yourself, then to all beings, to all your loved ones. Then when you have more and more loving kindness, more and more positive energy, because you radiate, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well, and have, you really feel the inner well-being and inner happiness within you. That's why this positive vibration they were sent in. And it will help reverse your immune system. It will bring it up. That's how you can recover from your disease and all those things. That's why the mind is very important. The Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Then apart from these two benefits, the third one is, when you are just mindful and aware, when you have inner peace and inner well-being, you will have clarity of mind because you don't have mental hindrance. Then you can understand things better. You can attend to your problem easily. When there is clarity, there is no fear, there is no doubt, then you can make better decisions. You can be more efficient in your work, in your study. Understand? Then because you are peaceful, with the inner peace and inner well-being and inner awareness, you can sleep very well. You don't have problem with insomnia. You don't have to drink coffee to stay awake. Understand? Then you don't have problem with sleepiness and drowsiness, lethargic mind, all the hindrance will go. So, inner peace leading to inner well-being, then clarity of mind, then allowing you to have better sleep and better rest, will make your mind beautiful. Then when there is clarity, you can see things as they are. You can also awaken insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. That's how you can awaken and become enlightened. So these are the benefits of meditation. And it can bring about a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of understanding, a lot of good mind state. And you can become like very different, very beautiful. So why not give yourself a chance? Why do you want to go through life the old way? I always tell my Kayanamita during the Dhamma session and retreat, if you see the danger of heedlessness, what must you do? Yeah? You must determine to be heedful, understand or not? So from a heedless way of living life, where you suffer so much, where you have so much problem, you cultivate this Buddha Dharma and transform yourself, then your life becomes so different. From a heedless way of living, you develop heedfulness. Heedfulness. So that you develop this new way of living life that is full of heedfulness, full of mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then what happens? You will have a lot of peacefulness, inner peace, inner well-being, inner calmness, clarity of mind, wisdom, understanding. And you will get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Means you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. First phase is learning the teaching, then put it into practice. So from Pariyatti, you go to Patipatti. Not go for Pati and Pati. Patipatti is put the teaching into cultivation. Sana. Then after you awaken, you get to enjoy the fruition of your cultivation, your hard work. That's why you will realize the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Understand? Can follow, huh? Okay. So that's what I want to add. Huh? Is it raining? Wow. Okay, now your chance to ask questions. Don't worry about your question. You can ask me anything. Huh?
Yeah, any question?
Make full use of the condition while we are here. Anyway, it's raining. You cannot go back. That's why they want to listen. Not only you. They also want to listen. Anything you're not sure about the teaching and the cultivation, you can ask. Huh? Why everybody so shy, huh? I'm not going to eat you out. Understand? I'm just your Dhamma friend, huh? New acquaintance, huh? Where is the small girl? She was very cute. Before we started, I was standing around here. She came and approached me. She was smiling. Then I saw her can sit. No. Oh, the leg can like that cross. But she came and played with the thing. You have to accept them for what they are. That's a kid are just kids. So try to understand them. Don't just call them or what, because they are just kids. You can talk to them, but nicely. Girl, come. Mommy teach you. This is how you pay respect. You start by teaching them to do it. Then I tell you, as a kid, they like it. You must, of course, give them some kind words. Oh, girl, very good. Oh, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then next time they will also follow you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You don't just scold. No point. When you scold means what? You create anger. It's an evil root. And to you, you think that is the way to discipline a child. No. The best way to discipline a child or train a child is to observe the child. Understand? Observe them. But they are just the way they are. So when you have mindfulness to patiently observe them, you will understand them and you will know why they are like that. And sometimes you laugh, you can tell your husband or your friend, see, she's going to fall already. She's going to cry already. You observe, you can predict what she wants. So mindfulness is like that. When you see your own evil root, you cannot do. Understand? They're coming already. Wrong speech already. Wrong thought already. So it's like you observe. Instead of observing your child, you observe yourself. That is what mindfulness is all about. To be aware of your habitual tendency. To be aware of your wrong view. To be aware of your own fear, your own craving, desire, attachment, clinging. That condition your suffering. And this is real Dhamma. Not all the theory. The theory, give it to the bird. Understand? Theory doesn't help you. A lot of this Dhamma you heard before. But you don't know how to link them. You don't know how to cultivate them. Understand? Okay. So even mindfulness itself is a very big topic. At first, Sui An want me to talk about meditation and mindfulness. I said, no, don't be too fast. Otherwise, they panic, they run away, they don't want to listen. Brother Lua, Push it all the way up, all the way up.
Hello, brother.
Yeah.
I just want to, some sort of like clarification or understanding. When we talk about karma, okay, cause and effect, so, let's say a person, now we are living in this world now, our karma, we try to do wholesome karma, all the good things. But some people might say that, I've been doing good, but the past life, I don't know, I've done a lot of negative karma. Negative karma. So, when the thing ripens in this time, or not yet coming, I am doing the good karma. Some people might, I don't know, like depend on people, how strong we or their understand of the law of karma, they will just give up. I do what I can. After all, my karma last time so bad. So if I do good also, meaning to say the bag, like the Ganges, the salt is too much already, it cannot dilute the glass, the inside glass. If the
past karma, your question is what?
Is how to...
How can such person...
Continue with the good. Good.
Okay. Good. You all understand his question or not? Can you understand? Not bad. Good question. But more important is focus on your own cultivation. Then you will understand and you will know how to answer him later on. But I will use my understanding to answer him. to answer your hypothetical question, which is very good, the Buddha already said, yeah, we have to see things as they are, accept the reality of the moment. So what is the reality? Yeah? What did the Buddha say? The reality is the truth. Understand or not? Thing is just the way it is. Means the past is already gone. Not a reality. Future yet to come. Also not a reality. So the only reality is present moment in the here and the now. What are you doing in the present moment? The question that you should ask is, moment to moment, life passes by. That is the only reality. What are you doing? Answer me. What are you doing? Or anybody can answer.
Normally people will ask this type of question. We will tell them, the moment you are, you continue with your wholesome, doing good things all day, continue.
That one is theory. That one is theory. It's not a reality. Reality is, I'm asking you a very simple question. It will help you. It will help everybody. Moment to moment, that is the only reality in life, isn't it? We already understood. And this is the highest in life, the present moment. What are you doing every moment? Not all the theory, you know, must do good, must what, if I am like that, I will be like that. All this is not a reality, if, understand? Or people say, I continue to do good. This is all idea, understand? Not a reality. Reality is every moment. Then I will explain to you why human being cannot do it. Unless you understand this point, very difficult to progress. You want me to help you to answer? You listen off the mic. Press it down all the way. You ask yourself, what are you doing most of the time? And I can tell you very clearly, most living beings who are not enlightened, in fact, all living beings who are not enlightened, they are all the time thinking, planning, and worrying about life. True or not? You think a lot, you plan a lot, you worry a lot. So much so, they never live life. When you are thinking, planning, and worrying about life, how can you be mindful? How can you be with the moment? That's why you cannot meditate, you cannot cultivate. You don't have mindfulness, you don't have heedfulness. You are not even aware of the moment. Your mind is full of thought because of avijja, paccaya, sankhara. So if you are constantly thinking, planning, and worrying about life, how can you live life? To live life means to be with the moment in silent awareness, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. When I am peaceful without thought, I got no fear, I got no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no. Then I am just peaceful. Then there is just understanding, just joy. That's like spiritual peacefulness, spiritual mindfulness and awareness. Then I can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You understand? That's why the Zen say, to drink a cup of Chinese tea is Zazen, meditation. At the moment when they drink, they are fully aware and mindful, without thought. So no fear, no worry, no anxiety. There is peace. There is joy. There is happiness. There is understanding. They fully taste the tea. That's why you can have this ability to be with the moment, fully aware, just to drink tea. And experience all of the beauty and wonders of that tea consciousness, that drinking. Because you got nothing to worry you, bother you. You are not lost in thought. You are not heedless. You are just being mindful, aware. And you understand. Then you just live. That's why you can experience. If you think a lot, worry a lot, you are not with the moment, I tell you. When you drive your car, you are not attentive. You are prone to have accident. When you worry, or when the phone call ring, and you try to multitask, I tell you, you will get yourself into a big problem. You play the risk of creating heedlessness, leading to accident and other things. That's why you have to be mindful, aware. Just be with the moment. Is it so difficult? But how come this habitual tendency has become like that? Because it has become a habit. You know what is a habit? No need to do anything, also it will do by itself. Understand? That's why you think a lot throughout the day. And you worry about the same thing. Understand? You wake up all day. Oh, today what must I do? Oh, this one not done. That one not done. My children, my what? So you are not living life at all, understand? You are worrying about so much thing. You worry about your own personal problem, your health problem, your financial problem, your relationship with your loved one, your children's problem, then your work problem. Then whatever you own, your house, your property, you also worry about them. Then your car. Sometimes, because old car, you want to save money, then continue to give trouble. Then you keep on complaining, understand? Why my car like that one? Again, I got to spend money. But this is a reality, understand? As long as you don't take care, you don't understand, this problem will come, understand? That's why when you understand that these are reality, accept them for what they are, and moment to moment, change, introduce condition. That's why the cultivation is about the moment. Forget about how much evil you have. Where there is the past, you cannot change. And don't go and daydream. Oh, one day I will become rich. I will become successful. I will become what? This is not a reality. This is wishful thinking. Not to say you cannot have such thought, but you can plan, think mindfully within the moment. Understand? Doesn't mean you cannot plan, but be with the moment. Plan with clarity, without fear. What must I do? How can I resolve this amicably? How can I help out? These are the positive approach. That's why you arise the right effort to abandon the wrong thought. Just now I didn't finish. Wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then the next one is what? The second right effort is what? After you have understood all this, when you have mindfulness, you can arise the right effort to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. And that is how you cultivate. Then only you arise the third right effort to cultivate the wholesome thought, the right speech and the right action that are still not in you. Have you all done that? If you have not done that, means you don't have the cultivation. You are just discussing idea and issue which is not a reality. The important thing is the cultivation, the hard work. You have to determine through your sadha and virya, spiritual faculty, then motivate yourself to cultivate. Now that you have the condition to understand this teaching, you got nothing to lose, understand? Because when you succeed, it is going to be a big difference to your life. It is going to transform you completely from a heedless way into a heedful way of living life. And your life is going to become so different. It's going to create a lot of positive effectiveness to improve your life tremendously. And you will have the good life. And you will never, never turn back. After that, you will rejoice. And you will thank your lucky star for receiving this teaching from Sakyamuni Buddha, from Lord Buddha. That's why you will have a lot of faith in him, gratitude and respect for him, and you will thank him profusely. That's why you have sadha very strong. Then it will motivate you to cultivate. This is what you have to do, understand? Don't go and worry about, I already got so much negative karma. I cultivate also no use. So you are like those negative people, understand? I used to give this example. Let's say if you are very negative in life, then another one very positive. Then one day people come and tell you, you want to change your life or not? Yeah? I teach you. You go and learn investment. you will become very wealthy, very rich financially, and you will become very successful. You know what you say? Not for me lah, I cannot one lah. So, you close the door. You don't even want to think about it. You don't even want to listen to it. People out of goodness want to help you. You don't even want to put in the hard work to try. So this negativity will shut you out. Understand or not? Just like that person, my karma like that one. What for I cultivate? Then you prefer to be heedless? Go ahead. And the Buddha never stop you. You're your life. You decide. If that heedlessness bring about sorrow, lamentation and suffering, don't blame anybody but yourself. Because that is your karma. You never take care. Understand? So everything is about understanding. But if the person is positive, you know what I say? Yeah, I got nothing to lose, isn't it? By listening to you and learn from you. Because you have make it. I saw you make it. Understand or not? Just like now I share. Yeah, I develop it. It's not something I talk from theory, you know, because I cultivate it and I realize it and I develop it. And I can have that type of sharing because I went through this form and mind went through. We are finally, you will understand this is not you. The form and mind that is speaking to you is just a karmically conditioned form and mind that come, the functional body that perform the function of this life. It's not me. He know you, he know me. But there is such thing as a form and mind, as a human being, as a living being, who is subject to law of karma. And law of karma is very powerful. That's why the living being, the human being, has a duty to do towards the law of karma. And when the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, head to your karma, conditioned by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, he is referring to your form and mind. Not your nature. Not you. So you must understand this clearly. The form and mind is the form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to develop the cultivation and the understanding. Or, of course, to reap the whatever cause and effect that is conditioned by the law of karma. Okay? You all want to stop or not? Otherwise, the rain won't stop. I hope I answer you. Oh, okay. So ask them to listen to this. I understand there are many questions. You can ask.
Hello. So today the talk has been very, very heavy.
Very heavy.
These are the lessons I learned through since I was year one until currently I'm final year. So it's very heavy, I think, for beginners. So please always have this problem. Because everyone have different karma and their understanding of the of the Dhamma is different.
Yes.
So how do we bring about everyone to practice the Dhamma?
Very good question.
It's not everyone, but those who have
I know.
Left out,
Very good question. Thank you so much. So he said he has been through before. I think he can understand certain aspects. That's why he said it has been very heavy, especially for beginners. It's not easy. True. Then even for those who are supposed to be practitioner or know the Dhamma, but you have not really developed the right understanding and the cultivation, it's not easy too. But these are something that is completely approach from a different angle and understanding. So regarding your question, different people have different karma. How do you make them cultivate? It's not this nature want to make them cultivate. The Buddha also never say he wants you to cultivate. Before he died, what was his advice? Apamadena sambadeta. Means what? Strive on with heedfulness. That's the only advice. He never say you must strive on with heedfulness. No. Your life. You decide how you want to live. You sing the Buddhist hymn, isn't it? No one save you but yourself. No one can and no one may. You yourself must walk the way. Buddha merely showed the way. You heard of this song, isn't it? You know why? You think Sakyamuni Buddha is not compassionate enough as to make you enlightened, if he can. Because he can't, understand? If I can make you enlightened, I also want to do it. But there is craving, because it's against nature's law. Like Sakyamuni Buddha say, he can only show you the way, you have to walk the path yourself. Means what? When you eat, you get your stomach filled, understand? If I eat for you, you think it functions or not, it works or not? It doesn't work, isn't it? That's why each and every individual, you have to decide for yourself. I used to say, each and every one of you, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely your choice. So decide wisely what you want in life. It's not for others to decide for you. If you don't cherish your own life, if you don't see the importance of this, you will never go this way, understand? You will continue to be heedless. Because heedlessness is bliss. Or ignorance is bliss, understand? To the deluded one, ignorance is bliss. You know, Einstein make a statement, He said, what is the difference between stupidity and wisdom? Yeah? You know what his answer is?
Stupidity is repeating doing the same thing and expect different results.
Ah, very good. Then he also add it, He said, at least wisdom got a limit one. He said, stupidity got no limit one. Understand? You can be very, very stupid one. And that one no need to teach one. Like you learn all the foul language, need to teach you or not? No need to teach. You have to learn to be greedy and selfish or not? No need, isn't it? Because you think you exist, what happened? If you believe you are real, exist, means what? There is a ego, I, personality. This is what self-delusion is all about. Then from this personality, the I, what will happen? You will want to own thing, possess thing. That's how selfishness arises, understand? Craving arises, desire arises. Because you think they are real. You think they can belong to you. Understand? Then because you think you exist, you become emotional. When things don't go your way, you get angry. That's how the evil roots of greed and hatred arise. Then when you don't understand, you have fear, you have doubt. You have what they call anxiety. You become unhappy. That's how the evil roots manifest through sakyadity, self-delusion. When you grasp and cling to the personality. When you think you are real, you exist. When you cannot see clearly through meditation that these are dependent originating, condition arising entity. Like we explained just now, the physical body is not you because it's just element. That one you can understand very fast. But the mind, is it you? Your mind, is it you? Your feeling that arise, is it you? You cannot deny your experience, is it? True or not? Your thought process. Is it you? Is there a thinker behind the thought? These are meditation. You never go into it. You never silence your mind to realize all this. That's why it's very difficult for you all to understand. The question is very simple, isn't it? You have the consciousness trapped inside. Is this real? Is it you? What did the Buddha say? Of course, you know that anatta, not you. But then, why not you? But it's so real. I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to run, I run. I want to do anything I can. I want to commit suicide, I also can. Why you say not me? Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? But logical is always the wrong convention. The reality is it's impermanent, not you. And I can explain to you very easily. If feeling is you, what happens when feeling transforms? Let's say good feeling. Then suddenly you become unhappy. That good feeling is gone. The unhappy feeling arises. Did you die? You didn't die. So how can that feeling be you? If feeling is you, when it passes away, you should die with it. True or not? Perception also. Every moment you arise, perceive, next one, arise, perceive. Perception also like feeling, come and go. But the form and mind still around. That's why perception also not you. Sankara, thinking also same. Thought come and go. You didn't die, that's why it's not you. Consciousness arise and pass away. You didn't die, that's why it's not you. Then who are you? What are you? If they are not you, why do they arise in you? This is second turning. Meditation, inquiry. If you cannot understand all this through meditation, you cannot free your mind. You cannot penetrate. Can follow? Like the car and the driver. If let's say the car got problem, no petrol. You put the Formula One driver inside there. You think the car can move? Cannot, isn't it? Means the condition is no more there. The human body is the same. You think it's you. When somebody got paralyzed from the waist down, you ask him to stand. He cannot stand. You ask him to walk. He cannot walk. Ability to control doesn't mean it's you. Like the car and the driver. The driver can decide. Drive fast, slow down, brake, turn, or whatever. But doesn't mean the driver is the car. Ability to control doesn't mean it's you. Like this body you can control doesn't mean it's you. Their consciousness is different, like the driver. But when this one, some part go wrong, like the car, important, vital, cylinder, head, or whatever go wrong, the car cannot move. No fuel, the car cannot move. So without condition, the form and mind cease. Without condition, the driver and the car were separate. That's why they are different entities. That's why when you see this clearly, then you realize the form is the form, the mind is the mind. Consciousness is consciousness. They come and they go. And they are dependent originating. And this consciousness that is inside you also dependent on the karmic force. That's why you got your supportive karma that come. When that supportive karma cease, the heartbeat cease. Then death occur. Then consciousness has to leave. You think you die. Nothing die. Only consciousness and the form separate. You meditate, you will know. You can see all this. Okay? So regarding karma, it's the individual. I hope I answer your question. So it's not about the Buddha or me. I actually, to this form of mind, no different. Because whether you cultivate or you don't cultivate, the nature's law still operate, understand or not? And not so real, not what you think. But there is such thing as form and mind. There is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. Even though it's not so real, moment to moment, life passes by. But there is such thing as life. That's why you can still live life. You can still be with the moment to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. You are endowed with this beautiful form and mind, the senses. I think we better end, otherwise too late. Okay? Yeah. My wife give this sign. Stop. Okay. Otherwise too late, not so good. Okay.
Are we going to...
Yeah, sharing of merits, yeah, transfer of merits. I think today they rejoice a lot. Very funny, you know. Every center I go, first day, sure heavy rain on. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. Okay, let us compose our mind, recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2.5 hours. Maybe rejoice in all this wholesomeness, then invoke the power of merits to share all these merits. We start with the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. We repeat 2 more times. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. Itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Let us pay homage to Lord Buddha. Buddhang pujebe. Dhammang pujebe. Sanghang pujebe. Okay. Oh, there's one more thing I need to do. I forgot. I need to give this set of book to your president. Come. Visakha. Yeah, because the rest you all can take, Yes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then this set go to your library. This set. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the rest of you, you can have the books. You know, and now let Brother Suyan know. He will send you a bit more later on. You can say a few words. Yeah, let the president say a few words.
Just would like to express our appreciation to Brother Teo for giving us such an enlightened talk. And myself, personally, I feel that the talk is very enlightening. Because lately, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been a bit of lazy or maybe tiredness. Normally I will get up 5 to 6 o'clock for meditation. But for the last 2 to 3 weeks, I've been a bit lazy. Maybe it's with the Brother Teo's talk, maybe I will have to add in
so
my
so you don't worry. If the condition like that, let it be. Because the condition is not ready. That's why now there is new condition. You can determine. It's not too late. You realize that even Lim Go Tong, he started building Genting Highland at the age of 50-something, you know. They say he mad, man. The Cantonese word for his name is Lam Thong. Yet, he became so successful. So you cannot say your name no good. No such thing. Lam Thong also become Lam Da Thong. So never too late. The moment you have the understanding, you determine. That is how the virya work. The sada will drive you when you understand. Then you will never turn back. That's how you progress. The spiritual faculty, that's all you need. Okay.
Thank you, Brother.
No problem. I rejoice
and also to Brother Sian,
with all the wholesomeness. Yeah, you should thank him and me for. they suggested, then for me, very simple, I accord and flow. If there is condition, I will come. If there is no condition, nothing happens. That's why I told you before we start, because of affinity, we can be here, and I rejoice with your wholesomeness. Okay? So thank you so much for inviting us over.
Sadhu.
But, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we have to present the set to you. Then, Stephanie, can we... The cash. Oh, here. Oh, okay. So they have decided for me. Don't worry. Come. We will hand it to the president. Come. So, the set first. I know, the box is a symbol. They are mock check also. The mock check. But this one is real cash. Maybe. So, on behalf of Kayanamita, this is from our Kayanamita Fund and our spiritual trip, Common Pool Fund. So, we offer it to your center. Sadhu. I also don't know how much they decide for me. So this is the set I told you. Sadhu. This one is from Kayanamita Fund, our Kayanamita Fund. So it's a very good set because the recording is very clear. So Sui An will go back normally, download it. Then later on we will send you the recorder. I hope you all can bear with us. I didn't know they didn't buy the recorder. We also actually offered this set to this Kampa site. There's a new, what is the name already? Brother Ko's place. Manga Lodge, yes. The two of them also very generous, a lot of parami. Brother Ko and the wife. They are also from Subang Jaya. They also invited us there. I think two or three times already, if I'm not wrong. Oh, you can, you want to, you can have, yeah.